I commend you on this beautiful edifice. We certainly appreciate it. I know you enjoy it and are using it to the glory of the Lord. My assignment in this lectureship is Christ, the fulfillment of prophecy. I'm going to take off my watch. I don't understand anything about machinery, so those lights are new to me, so I'll try to go by my watch. One of the greatest evidences of Christianity is fulfilled prophecy. And the center and circumference of the Old Testament is predictive prophecy concerning Jesus Christ the Messiah. The prophets, as you know, had two main functions. They were forthtellers and foretellers. They were most of the time forthtellers. That is, they spoke to the people of their day. They were preachers. But in addition to this, and very importantly, they were foretellers, which means they predicted future events. And they predicted things that would come about hundreds and even thousands of years later. And the only possible way to account for this phenomenon is by inspiration. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1:21. In John 10:35, Christ said, "The scriptures cannot be broken." There are many people who have tried to take the Bible and rip it apart, but they'll never succeed. They've never succeeded. You might as well talk about going back and jerking Christ down off the cross, taking those nails out of his hands and feet in order to destroy predictive prophecy. And there are not enough carpenters and not enough modernists in this world to do that, though that is the aim of skeptics, infidels, atheistic, quote, theologians, a self-contradiction, and they will never be able to accomplish it. I hope that your righteous indignation is stirred against those who ridicule the Bible, ridicule the morality in the Bible, ridicule the sacred human life made in the image of God, born and unborn. I hope that that stirs your righteous indignation. In John 5:30-47, when Christ was giving numerous evidences that he is God's Son, one of those great evidences was Old Testament prophecy, because he said, "They are they which bear witness of me." There's a tremendous need for Christ. Adam and Eve in the garden committed spiritual suicide. They took their own lives spiritually. And the principle is, Genesis 9, life for life. And therefore, they, having committed spiritual suicide, deserved eternal punishment in hellfire. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9 and other passages. But thanks be to God, the second person in the Godhead stepped in and said, "I will die in their place." And he did indeed taste death for every man. Hebrews 2:9. When Adam and Eve sinned, God began immediately to move toward Calvary. He told Satan, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. Thou shalt bruise his heel." 4,000 years later, Christ was nailed to that cross. And as a man coming down with his heel upon the head of a serpent, the seed of Satan bruised Christ's heel. But when Christ came forth from the grave triumphant, he laid the blow to the head of Satan from which he can never recover. The Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world, John 1:29. Let us notice Christ in prophecy. First, his lineage. The Bible says that the Lord would come through Judah and David. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff, but from between his feet, till Shiloh Christ come. And unto him shall the obedience of the peoples be. Genesis 40:19. This was nearly 2 millennia prior to the coming of Christ when that was stated. Out of the stock of Jesse would Christ come, according to the prophecy of Isaiah 11:1, 700 years before the time of Christ. Jeremiah stated, 600 years before the time of Christ, behold, the days come, and I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely. The stump of Judah, the great tree, was cut down. Jeremiah 22:24-30. At the time of Jehoiakim, Coniah, Jeconiah. And seemingly the stump was dead. But there would be a branch come out of that stump, a shoot. That would become king of the kingdom of David. And that's what he did. Christ came from Judah and David. Hebrews 7:14, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Revelation 5:5, weep not, behold the lion that is of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath overcome to open the book. Let us notice the virgin birth of Christ. Prophecy is that he would be born of the virgin, Genesis 3:15. The seed of woman would bruise the head of the serpent, not the seed of man. Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. This was a virgin woman of marriageable age. In Jeremiah 31:22, Jeremiah said, a new thing hath happened in the land. A woman shall encompass a man. There would be nothing new about a woman going up and hugging a man. There would be nothing new about a woman giving birth to a man child. What would be new would be a woman giving birth to a child, that woman never having known a man. In this way, Isaiah 9:6-7, Christ would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In Hebrews 10:5, we find in the context of Christ, God not accepting the sacrifices of the Old Testament, Christ said, a body thou hast prepared for me, the virgin birth. In meticulous fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, Matthew revealed Verses 20-25 of chapter 1, that which was conceived in the womb of Mary is of the Holy Spirit. Notice Matthew 1:16, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom feminine was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Notice that Christ was not begotten of Joseph. He was born of Mary. And when the Holy Spirit overshadowed the womb of Mary, the holy thing that was begotten in her would be called the Son of God. Luke 1:35. In addition to prophecy concerning the virgin birth, Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, which art little among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall come forth one who is to be ruler in Israel. He had been from everlasting, the verse says, which means he would be born of the virgin in Bethlehem. 700 years after the prophecy, the Bible says that Christ was indeed born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. And the chief priests and scribes told Herod where it would be according to the scriptures. Matthew 2:1-6. And then he would be called out of Egypt. Hosea 11:1. Like Israel was called out of Egypt, then Christ would be carried to Egypt in order to escape the wrath of the king, but then he would be called out of Egypt into Nazareth, Matthew 2:16-23. But in addition, the Bible speaks through Isaiah of one who would prepare the hearts of the people for the Messiah, Christ the King. He would prepare for Christ in the wilderness a way, Isaiah 35:8. There shall be a highway and a way of Jehovah, and he would make a straight path in the desert, a highway for our God, Isaiah 40:3. Same thing is prophesied, Malachi 3:1. The forerunner was John the Baptist. And the Bible says, even as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I will send my messenger before thy face. John came, who baptized in the wilderness. Mark 1:14. Notice his beginning of miracles. In Isaiah 9:1-2, Isaiah prophesied, there should be no gloom to her that was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but he's going to make it glorious. The people that have sat in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Zebulun and Naphtali were between Syria and Egypt. And when Egypt would muster up in the intertestamental period enough strength to go up and battle against Syria, they would. And when Syria would get enough strength to go down to Egypt, they would. But always passing through the glorious land, the land of Naphtali and Zebulun. And when armies marched, the peoples trembled. They took what they needed, food, supplies, women, or what they wanted off the land. And so the nations trembled. But it was that part that would see a great light. And John 2:1-11 tells about how that Cana of Galilee was where Christ performed his first miracle, turning water into wine in the land of Zebulun, as prophesied, Matthew 4:12-16. Then let us notice prophecies concerning his betrayal and persecution. Not only would many of his disciples depart from him, but Christ would be betrayed by his own friend. Psalm 41:9, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Zechariah 11:12-13, so they weighed for my hire 30 pieces of silver. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 apostles, fulfilled these prophecies. John 13:18, he that eateth my bread lifteth up his heel against me. The Bible records that one of the 12, who's called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me to deliver him up to you? And they weighed unto him 30 pieces of silver, the price of a common slave. Matthew 26:14-16. And that night he betrayed Christ, he gave them a sign that whom I kiss, he'll be the one. And he went up to Jesus and he said, Hail, Rabbi, and kissed him. Our Lord would be persecuted grievously and mercilessly. Isaiah 56, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, Isaiah 53:7. Isaiah 28:16, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a tried stone, one grievously persecuted. Yet he stood up righteously and gave himself freely for us. 1,000 years before Christ was born, David prophesied, why do the heathen rage and the peoples imagine a vain thing? They rage together, the Jews and the Gentiles, Romans, against Christ, devised a plot against him and killed him. And the Bible says, some began to spit on him before the Sanhedrin, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, prophesy. And the officers received him with the blows of their hands. Mark 14:65. And then the crucifixion. David prophesied, for dogs have compassed me, a company of evildoers have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. Psalm 22:16. Zechariah wrote that they shall look upon me, unto me whom they have pierced. Zechariah 12:10. They shall smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Zechariah 13:7. Christ himself said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And he was telling how that he would die. John 12:32-33. The Bible says they led him to the place of the skull, and there they crucified him. Luke 23:33. What about his resurrection? Well, in Jonah 2:10, we find that the third day, Jonah was vomited out of the great fish, his belly. In Matthew 12:40, Christ said, as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. If words mean anything, as Jonah was vomited out on the third day, Christ would be resurrected from the grave on the third day. And just as coming out of Egypt fulfilled Hosea's prophecy in 11:2, Matthew 2:15, just so is Hosea 6:2 a prophecy of Christ's resurrection. After 2 days, they will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. And Christ arose on the third day. Luke 24:46. And the Bible says he was raised according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:4. Notice also the prophecy of his fountain, this side would be open and blood would flow from it. His fountain would be open for sin. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness, Zechariah 13:1. When Christ had made a sacrifice for sin, he sat down on the right hand of God, Hebrews 10:12. We are sprinkled from an evil conscience, our hearts are, and our bodies are washed in baptism with pure water, Hebrews 12:22. Our sins are washed away through his blood, Ephesians 1:7, Revelation 1:5, and other passages. Christ's blood was shed in his death, John 19:34, and we're baptized into his death and contact that blood, Romans 6:3 and 4. But then let's talk about Christ's kingdom in prophecy. Daniel tells about the diverse beast, head of gold, breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, and feet part iron and part clay. And it was the time, during the time of the legs of iron and feet part iron and part clay, the Roman kingdom, the Roman Empire, that the little stone would be that cut out of the mountain and hit the colossal image in its feet and destroy the colossal image. But it would be in the time of the Romans that Christ's kingdom would be set up. Daniel 2:44. We would find that Christ in the time of the diverse beast, Daniel 7:9 through 14, would ascend to the Ancient of Days and receive a kingdom. He would ascend with the clouds. He would be led before Christ, God, and coronated as king. And that's exactly what happened. Acts chapter 1 and verses 8 through 11. And Psalm 24, 7 through 10. We don't have time to talk about that. But some who were standing there when Christ made the prophecy, Mark 9:1, were still living when Christ set up his kingdom. Of course, Judas had died. Acts 1:8, Acts 2, 1 through 4. Also, the Old Testament predicts his reign as king. He would reign as king and serve as priest at the same time. Zechariah 6:12 and 13. He shall sit upon his throne. He shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be upon between them both. When thy days are fulfilled, David was told, and he slept with his father, God would establish the throne of his kingdom forever. 2 Samuel 7, 12 and 13. Of course, this is a death knell to premillennialism. Because we find in Acts 8, 4 and 5, Christ could not be a priest on earth at all. And therefore, since he would serve as king and as priest at the same time, he cannot be king on earth. But friends, he is now serving as king, and he's on David's throne. But David's throne is in heaven. And he's also serving as our high priest, Hebrews 1 and Hebrews 4. In addition, the Old Testament predicts his peaceable kingdom. The word is the seed of the kingdom. The result of the seed of the kingdom is seen upon the wicked. Isaiah 11:6 through 9 says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb in the kingdom. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion together, or the fatling together. The young lion and the fatling, and a little child shall lead them. In the peaceable kingdom, there would be those who used to be as mean and as vicious and as vindictive and ugly as beasts. But you see, they've changed. The gospel has made them now meek and gentle and docile. For such are the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18, 1 through 4. The children of God would beat their implements of war into plowshares and pruning hooks. And in the kingdom they would not study about war anymore. Isaiah 2, 4 and Micah 4, 3 and 4. His kingdom would be composed of all nations. Genesis 12, 3, all the families of the earth would be blessed through the Abrahamic promise. The nations shall see thy righteousness and all kings thy glory. Isaiah 62, 2. God would give up the name Israel for a curse, and he would call the Jews and Gentiles in the kingdom by another name, the name Christian, Isaiah 65, 15. Those who were eunuchs in the Old Testament could not enter into the assembly of Jehovah, Deuteronomy 23, 1 and 2. But in the Messianic kingdom, they're just as welcome as anybody else. The Ethiopian nobleman had traveled 1,000 miles to Jerusalem to worship and could not enter into the assembly of Jehovah in the temple. But when he was baptized, having heard the truth about the peaceable kingdom, the Messianic kingdom, he was just as welcome as anyone else. In addition, all spiritual blessings are found only in the kingdom. Unto them will I give in my house and within my walls, the church, a memorial, the Lord's Supper, and a name, Christian, better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Isaiah 56, 5. And my house shall be called the house of prayer for all peoples. Isaiah 56, 7. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you and I can be redeemed without money. Isaiah 52, 3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, he couldn't redeem himself, come buy and eat, come buy milk and wine without money and without price. And so Christ redeems us through his blood. But then also we learn that the gospel of the kingdom must be preached. It is necessary. Isaiah 52, 6 and 7, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful are the feet of those that carry on the mountains good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of salvation. Out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. After quoting Joel's prophecy that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Paul said, how beautiful are those that carry, that bring the glad tidings of good things. But sadly, he said, not all have hearkened to the good tidings. They've not all obeyed the gospel. Romans 10, 11 through 21. Hastening, we find in the Old Testament prophecy that Christ is going to come back. In Daniel 12, 2 and 3, and many that sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. But they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness shall shine. as the stars forever and ever. Christ is coming back. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive in myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know the way. John 14:2-4. Christ said, the hour cometh, and with all, which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth. Those that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, those that have done good unto the resurrection of life. John 5:28-29. The marvelous Word of God begins with God, man, Satan, sin, and redemption. My friends, it culminates with the same subject. Though man was tempted by Satan in the Garden of Eden, sinned and was thus separated from God, in the book of Revelation, one sees the faithful, the redeemed of the earth, triumphing with the rider on the white horse, whose name is Faithful and True. Revelation 19:11. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Verse 16. The wicked are cast into the lake of fire, but the righteous shall enter in through the heavenly gates into the heavenly home of the redeemed. Let us strive and determine that we are among the redeemed.